You can have all the Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio podcast with our new app. Just search your app store, Apple, Android, Kindle. We don't care what you use. Search the app store for Explorations Early Learning. Download the app. Give it a try.
It's time to lean back and buckle in. This ain't your grandma's early learning podcast. Then again, your grandma probably didn't know what a podcast was. Hey, moms and dads, puppies and kittens, caregivers and advocates, it's time for Shaking Bones. Here's Dan and Amy.
Hi there. Welcome to the Shaking Bones podcast. I'm Dan Hodgins.
And I'm Amy Ahola.
In this episode, we're going to talk about burnout. Amy and I are hanging out together to tackle the untouchable. Sometimes we might challenge your beliefs, maybe even stretch your comfort zone. And most importantly, we want to make you think. We don't expect that you agree or disagree, but what we do hope is to cause some shaking bones. Amy, I think this is the perfect time of the year, I think, to talk about burnout with everyone, because especially as the winter is hanging on in some areas more so than others, and the cold weather, and people aren't able to get out, and there's flu bugs going around, a whole lot of things are happening. And so at that point, sometimes people go through that period of time where they really wonder what the hell they're doing in terms of the process. And so burnout, I think, is probably more likely to occur maybe at this time than in any other time. Have you heard people talk about that?
You know, definitely. And, you know, and it's, I live in a climate where we have snow for a very, very long period of time. And like you said, you know, you might not be getting out as much. And so, you know, there's some of the seasonal affective disorder that comes into play sometimes too, where you're not getting outside and not getting enough sun and feeling shut in. And you know, we're caregivers and we're really good at caring for everyone else, but we're not very good about caring for ourselves sometimes. And so that burnout can be very, very common in our profession.
Yeah. And I think that some people think, well, you get to play, you've got kids, you know, why would you not be happy all the time? And they keep forgetting the amount of stress and emotional tie that goes along with the job. It's not just a physical component that's challenging sometimes, but a lot of it has to do with the emotional component, because, like, you know, we care so much about the people that we're serving that we're always on, essentially, in terms of that process. So I think burnout can easily happen at any point. I think one of the things that people, I love what Tom Hunter said once. He said that the only good thing about burnout is that people must have been on fire at one time. So I wonder how we get to the point where that fire burns out. What do you think are some of the causes in your own personal life, or what you've heard from others that might cause that?
Well, Dan, I can speak from personal experience, and, you know, talking to so many other home-based childcare providers. Not to say that burnout doesn't happen in classrooms and in centers and things, but I think that with home-based providers, we work a lot of hours. I mean, it's not uncommon for people to have a minimum of 50, but more likely most home providers are working at least 70 hours a week. And so, you know, between the time you're spending with children, because if you're allowing for parents to be able to work, like my open hours where my husband and I are working together, it's 55 hours a week that we're with children. Wow. And then you add on top of that the cleaning, and like you said, this time of year when it's winter and everybody's getting sick, all the different cleaning and sanitizing that you spend doing, and depending on, you know, what type of program you have, if you're doing a lot of planning or you're doing a lot of cleanup from the different types of things that you're doing, and then you got to do the grocery shopping, you know, and you have to figure out how to juggle, how to get all this in. And, you know, we have assistants who come in for a couple hours a week here and there so we can do appointments and things. But for the most part, we're working close to 70 hours a week. So just the sheer amount of hours being spent can easily lead to that.
I think one of the things I think you pointed out at another podcast too is that I think it's probably more challenging for home providers maybe to separate work and life. Do you think that that's true?
Oh yeah. Well, when you live where you work, it's really hard if you stay home not to go, oh, this needs to get done. And instead of doing things that you could be doing to take care of yourself or, you know, choosing an activity that isn't childcare related, it's really easy to walk by something and then 3 hours later be doing a project for the kids or, you know, spending a ton of time on Pinterest or, you know, looking at ideas on how you can best support this child or different things because you care a lot, you're passionate about what you're doing, but at the same time, you're not taking time to make that balance in your life that you need.
So do you think at one time there was that point of your life where you where everything surrounded your work? And then you had to really evolve into a person who really needed to develop family and personal time, or else you just go nuts in terms of that. Don't you think that that's absolutely necessary to occur whether you were in a home or in a center? Because I can see where it occupies our time a lot.
Yeah, and it's, like I said, it's hard sometimes to get that balance because it's so easy to get distracted because everything you're looking at or you're doing, of course you're focused on that. But it's, you know, it's really important to, and I work with my husband, so it's not like my husband has a separate outside job. So he's got the same focus as I have in terms of work. So we do get to spend time together, doing things for the business, but it's really important for us to make sure that we are, and, you know, you do really good for a long time and then you sit down and you look at things and you go, wow, when's the last time we just went and did something to just like do nothing or to, you know what I mean? That type of thing. And so it's just really being diligent and cognizant of how you're spending your time and looking at making sure that you're taking care of needs outside of childcare, outside of early childhood. And, you know, there sometimes we blend things together because it's really, really easy to do. But making sure that we're taking individual time for other interests as well.
Yeah. And I think it's okay for people to not choose to feel guilty about taking time for themselves. I think in an occupation like we're in, it's very demanding. And it can consume every moment of our life. And in your case, it does a lot of times. So I think part of it is to really plan, to make sure that you do nothing if that's what you choose, or to do something that's not necessarily related, to the field of early childhood. So I'm always saying to people, what hobbies do you have outside of the field? Because I think that it's crucial. And even if that hobby is to sit down and read a book or sit down and take a rest or whatever that is, you really need to make sure and plan those events, because I think our jobs consume all the time. And if we don't plan it, it doesn't happen. Do you find that that's true?
I do. And I, you know, and it's not just the hobby part too, but I also think about just, you know, taking care of yourself in all, you know, taking time for yourself, but also, you know, it's really easy when you're working by yourself with, you know, a group of children. Oh my gosh, did I really eat lunch? I ate like two bites with the children, but when you're serving and meeting their needs, sometimes, you know, you don't eat. And so just being really aware of making sure that you're eating, that you're getting enough fluids during the day, that you're getting enough sleep. You know, that's a big one at sometimes too. I have found napping once I took up napping again as a hobby that I tried to make a regular occurrence a couple times a week, that made a huge difference for me in terms of being able to maintain the even if it's a 15-minute power nap. In fact, I did that right before we podcasted tonight. I took 15 minutes. And you know, it makes a huge difference in how I'm feeling.
Yeah, and I think you're right. Taking care of yourself is, I think, one of the ways to prevent parts of the emotional challenge that goes along with burnout. Is the fact that you need to take a look at how you can help yourself physically so that you're better emotionally. The other thing too is I really look at how I plan that throughout the day, because sometimes we wait until the weekend occurs, and like you know more than anybody, you spend your weekend going, sometimes doing the grocery shopping and planning for the week and making sure you have enough supplies. At that point, then your weekend no longer is yours. It becomes the job's again. And I think it's really crucial that people actually take that time and separate it in terms of the work and personal or family life in that approach.
Yes, definitely. And you know, Dan, those of us like myself who not only run a program but also, you know, do trainings, it's really important too. You know, for a while I was doing quite a bit of training, and I was on the road a lot, and then, you know, I really had to sit back and look at, okay, what's important? What are the priorities for me? And so, yes, I do still consult and train, but I have seriously limited the number of times I'm willing to go out in a year. And I've worked really hard at saying the word no, because it's not something that I've been good at my entire life. But to be able to say, you know what? No, you know, I need to make sure that I'm not scheduling too many, you know, too many trips or too many weekends with work-related things.
Yes, it can get consuming, and people forget sometimes that, you know, part of the presentation job is all the traveling to get to that presentation, which is really a day in itself, and also a day to get back, depending on where you're going. So the aspect of comforting yourself and doing things for yourself becomes a little more trying as you're doing all of those components. So part of the burnout aspect is to really, I think, focus also on what you can and cannot do. And I think you pointed out sometimes it's hard for people in this field, because we're such a nurturing group of people, to say no. So we get involved in committee works and other tasks that really go outside our program, but they're often typically related to the job. And I think part of the responsibility is to actually look at how you develop that concept of saying no. Like you, that was very, very difficult for me, and it's still not easy, but I'm working at it in terms of that process, because you just have to, because it just consumes your aspect. So I think people planning on how they're what they are capable of doing, and being and practicing saying no, is a key component to that burnout, don't you think so?
Definitely. And I think another key component of it as well is really taking time to reflect on the things that you love about what you do. And looking at when you're not feeling like you're loving stuff, what's changed? What's going on, and what can you do differently to continue to do more of the things that you love? Because I found that sometimes when I'm starting to feel overwhelmed or starting to feel like maybe there's a little bit of burnout going on, you know, I'll look at my schedule and you go, because, you know, like you said, the no thing, I've gotten a lot better, but it's a really easy thing to slip back into. So it's like, okay, you know, I always check my basics. Am I eating? Am I drinking? Am I sleeping? Am I, you know, how much time am I spending doing extra things? Is it really necessary for me? You know, what things are necessary for me to do, and what do I want? What do I love that I want to do more of while I'm working and when I'm not working?
Right. And you and I have talked about this several times too, is the fact that your own personal professional growth changes sometimes in your job. So, for example, at the beginning, someone might want to be a teacher or provider, and then they might get to a point where they now want to share what they've done with others about what they're comfortable and good at, and then it might move into teaching at a college or a university, authoring a book. So part of what I find with individuals in terms of burnout is the stage of development that they go through themselves and accepting that it's okay to make changes, and it's not okay, it's really important for us to look at where we are in our own personal development. And if it's not in the classroom or the home, but you still want to stay in the field, there are lots of other possibilities that people can evolve to. And I think that you and I have talked about that in terms of that process of where you or someone else wants to be at a particular stage. Don't you think so?
Right. And, you know, it's not just, you know, your own personal growth there in terms of potentially changing what you might be doing in the field, but sometimes it's your own personal growth and who you find as colleagues. And it's another, you know, it's another hard piece that's, I worked in a center for a while and I worked in a public school for a while before I opened my own home-based program. And, you know, in both of those settings, I had a lot more colleagues that I could bounce ideas off and, you know, things every day. But then as a home provider, it's a different world because you don't have colleagues that you're talking to every day. And so it's really important to find that support group, to find people who are like-minded in the field with you, but not, you know, so like-minded that they're not challenging you to continue to grow as well, but having people that you can vent to and bounce ideas off of, and, you know, finding your people is very important in this field as well.
Right, and I'm often saying to people, if you're going through any form of burnout, typically it's best not to hang around just people who are going through burnout.
Right.
You really need to be able to talk with people about concerns and issues. And I do believe that it's more challenging for home providers because there's that sense of isolation. But I think also the internet has helped a great deal. The whole idea of technology has helped a great deal with people finding other people who have like interests or challenges that are similar. And I find people frequently now, even on Facebook, for example, saying, I hadn't thought about that. That's a really good idea. I'm going to give that a try, which I think is a really important component of the whole aspect of burnout.
Definitely. You know, the social media aspect of things and being able to, you know, I moderate a number of groups on Facebook, and even having local providers being able to connect on social media has just been phenomenal. And we've actually started meeting now in person as well this past year, once a month, to have a support group. And we go back and forth to different, you know, we tour different people's programs, their houses, and have a meeting and talk about what, you know, whatever the topics are that we feel that need to be talked about, in addition to, you know, providing an hour and a half of training at each of our gatherings. And so it's been really nice to really get to know a lot of the local providers a little bit better.
And that's one of the aspects I like about going to professional conferences or group gatherings of early childhood people, is the fact that it's not only the cognitive aspect of learning a particular subject matter, but just getting together for lunch or having some informal conversations, going out to dinner with people and having some fun at the same time, talking about some things that really might not been able to be shared before, but in that kind of setting it provides that aspect. So I'm a real advocate of people attending professional conferences or workshops or trainings to get that kind of feedback and camaraderie that I think is really important.
I think it's, you know, one of the best cures sometimes for burnout is to go. And honestly, sometimes I feel like you need to move out of your own local geographic area. You know, local conferences are nice and you meet people, but sometimes it's just really nice to travel. And, you know, for most of us, it's a business write-off, especially when you're a home provider, to find something that's going on a little bit further away, just so that you can meet some different people who, and, you know, and get some ideas from different parts of the country. I found that to be phenomenal in terms of when I'm, you know, having a rough patch to really rejuvenate with that. And also to really look at the type of professional development, because not all professional development is created equally. You know, you mentioned the cognitive aspect of it. And sometimes you go to a conference and there's like no downtime and no real time to connect. And then you miss out on that aspect of it. Yeah, you get a lot of good information, but a lot of professional development really doesn't look at that social aspect of things very well to make sure that there is an opportunity for that to happen.
Yeah, that reflection time is probably sometimes even more important than the workshop itself, is being able to reflect on, is this something that I can use or not? Is it important to me? Is it not? I think it's really crucial. I keep remembering that you and I met at a conference.
Yes.
and people meet up at those events and they become sometimes some real long-lasting exciting endeavors. But and I think it's important that those kinds of things occur because they're kind of exciting and they keep you alive. And I agree with you, it doesn't really have to be a conference that's even related to the field, because sometimes it could just be on a subject of gardening or looking at taking a cooking training or whatever, because again, that's an aspect, if it excites you, it motivates you, then that's going to create a better mental outlook for people in general.
Right. And, you know, it might be related to some aspect of it, but even if it's completely not, you're taking time for yourself and right. Something that, you know, is interesting to you. And so that's giving you that piece that might be missing otherwise.
Well, I think we both agree that burnout can happen to anyone. It doesn't have to last. Part of it is to taking a careful look at what you need to do for yourself. How do you separate yourself from your job and look at yourself in a way that's in a stimulating individual that there's all kinds of possibilities for you. Thanks so much for letting us shake some bones. If you have questions or want continued discussion, email me at dkj5075@aol.com. Or Amy at?
You can email me at amyahola@hotmail.com, or you can find me on Facebook at Child Central Station.
Thanks so much for listening.
Bye-bye.
This has been Shaking Bones. Dan and Amy will be back next week for more Bone Rattling. Stay tuned.
Hey, you want to support all the Upstairs Studio podcasts? It's as simple as this. Use our Amazon link when you shop Amazon. We get a small percentage of what you spend. You don't pay any extra. You get your stuff from Amazon. Everybody wins. Where do you find the link? Well, it's on the Explorations Early Learning app. You can find it on the Explorations Early Learning website. And if you don't find it in those places, just get a hold of Jeff on Facebook or via email, and he'll hand deliver it to your inbox. Thanks for your support. Bye-bye.